good afternoon once again. I'm just going to get myself set up here. So, my name is James, and it's my privilege to be able to share the word with you today. We are going through a sermon series into the book of Proverbs, and we have entitled it Proverbs, Learning to Live Well. In the first part, a few weeks ago, we looked at the purpose of Proverbs, which is to gain wisdom. It's all about gaining wisdom. The purpose of Proverbs is practical life wisdom. We compare our life with the wisdom of Proverbs, and we make the changes if necessary. And so today we're going to look at some of the benefits of wisdom. We're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. So I hope you've brought a Bible with you. We're going to open it up and get stuck in. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray as we begin to go through our word for today. Heavenly Father, as we just sang, it is so sweet to be able to trust in you. We cannot fathom your understanding. Please help us as we go through your word, as we compare the wisdom of Proverbs to our own lives. Would you please encourage, correct, build up through your word, which is alive to us. Heavenly Father, I just pray that all of my brothers and sisters would hear a word from you today. Would you please speak into our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So I've entitled this sermon, The Benefits of Wisdom, or we could say something like the rewards of wisdom, the benefits of wisdom. Sometimes when we think of those words, reward or benefit, we may think of something like behavioral conditioning. So for example, if you were to train up a dog, then every time a dog obeys you, you give it a little dog biscuit and say, well done, doggy. Good job. I'm going to give you a little treat. We can easily think, if we obey God, I serve him faithfully, God is like something like that with us. Well done, Johnny. Here's a little treat, a little iPad, some kind of random thing which is maybe not related to actually the choice we make. Now, God may reward us with the desires that he himself puts in our hearts. He is a good gift giver. But often when we think of benefits, the rewards, it's usually in line with the greatest benefit, the greatest reward that we can receive, which is the reason why we exist on this earth in the first place, to know God more, to know our Creator, and grow in knowledge of him. So for example, just fast forwarding, when we look at our first proverb, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The benefit of it is the natural outcome, which is he can direct your paths now. That is something that God always wants to do. But now, when I trust in him, instead of looking at my own life roadmap, and I'm looking at his life roadmap, he is able to direct my path and guide me. So we're going to look at three benefits of wisdom today. These are the three benefits. Firstly, we will find out that God makes your paths straight. He clears away the life obstacles. Secondly, fearing the Lord brings physical and spiritual health. And thirdly, God blesses abundantly, plentifully. He's overflowing with blessings. So let us go through our passage then slowly and find out what it has to say for us today. First, verse 5 says this, Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's just focus on that first word, trust. In Hebrew, that word means to cling on to something or to someone, to have full confidence in them. It's a little bit like when you might see a father throwing up a child in the air, and the kid is screaming in laughter, fully trusting in the father's ability to catch him. The two-year-old is not thinking to themselves, I really hope dad's going to catch me here. I don't want to get a fractured skull. Maybe I should get out of this. He's trusting, a childlike trust. It's like that. It's a little bit like if you've ever seen those movies. I hope you've not been there, but if you've ever been to those movies when there's a casino and there's a roulette wheel, and there's if you know roulette, there's a little white ball and it has to go in the red one or the black one, and then some crazy guy all in on red. He goes all in, and everybody looks at this guy, whoa. Not a single chip is left. He has put all of his money, all of the savings on red. No plan B, not a single chip left. Now, that's foolishness in the casino world. Don't do that. It's all just luck. But it's a little bit like that. It's a little bit like putting it all on God. All of your chips on God. You actually have to be that crazy guy and say, I am all in on the Lord. And then, in our proverb, actually, it's a little bit like Solomon himself is doubling down on it, because then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then repeats it, in all your ways submit to him. That Hebrew word means entire, everything you have, because Solomon knows the tendency for you and me to trust in the Lord with one eye, while the other eye is scouring for information just so that I can remain in control. Trust in the Lord with one hand lifted high. The other hand is busy being productive just in case God doesn't provide for me. All in for the Lord. For many years in my life, in my testimony, I did quite a few Christian activities. I did some Christian stuff. I would sometimes read my Bible, and I would go to church sometimes, and I would give money to the homeless guys, and I would pray sometimes, and I would try to stay sexually pure. But I did all of that stuff completely drunk or hungover. I trusted in the Lord with everything apart from my inability to stop drinking, and nothing changed. In fact, my life got progressively weirder and worse. You cannot just hold something back to yourself. If we do, the obstacles remain in our path. You get lost. You and I have to trust God with everything that terrifies us, everything that shames us, everything, I want to remain in control over this, everything that holds us back. It's all or nothing. For me, doing that, trusting in God with all of those things, felt like taking a step out into the unknown. That's how it really felt. Like I was being asked to step off a cliff, but there's an invisible bridge underneath that is going to support you. What is the opposite of trusting? Opposite of trusting in God is trusting in ourselves. Trusting in our own understanding to make the right choice. Confident in my ability to do something outside of God. And in our society nowadays, self-confidence, self-dependence is actually quite promoted, right? That seems like a good word. Just, he's a really self-confident guy. He's managed to look within himself and find that deep down hidden strength and pull it out. He's a real self-confident guy. But confidence is only a good thing, brothers and sisters, if every ability and gift that I have is acknowledged to be God's, given to me to use for his glory. Then I can be confident. Then I can be confident in the Lord alone. The Proverbs warn us Our proverb warns us not to trust in ourselves with this wording. It says, lean not or rely not. So like you were to lean against a sturdy wall. Like lean not on your own understanding. And the word understanding there does not mean what you understand about a subject like math or physics. It means lean not on knowing what is the right thing to do. Like decision making. So you have to make a decision. So where are you going to go? Are you going to trust in the Lord? Are you going to think, well, I got this. I got this covered. It looks pretty easy for me. I want us to think practically, as the Proverbs are all about practical life wisdom. So let's think practically now. Imagine that you have to make a big decision, a life decision that all of us may have to at some point. Maybe you have to move. Maybe you have a job offer in a new city, in a new country, wherever. It's a life decision, and you have to make it. What does it look like to lean on, to rely on your own understanding and not on the Lord? It looks like this. Maybe you offer up a token prayer to the Lord, but then you go about and do all of the research, all of the decision-making based on your desires. Leaning on your own understanding means after you have made the decision to move, oh yeah, I need to ask somebody. You ask a few other people to pray about it after the decision has already been made. The wisdom of the Proverbs and leaning on God, not my own understanding, means I will seek objective counsel. There is wisdom in the guidance of counselors. Pray with me from the start. You can speak into my life, brother. You can correct me. I'm going to commit to a time of prayer and fasting. I'm going to pray for confirmation. I'm going to allow the peace and joy of the Lord to be the referee in making this decision. Then I can rest confidently that I am trusting not in my own understanding, but in the Lord alone. I want to give you a nice biblical example of what it means, what it looks like to lean on your own understanding, to say, well, I know what to do. This is pretty easy. I got this. Very nicely encapsulated in the Israelites' decision not to ask God what to do. If you remember in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 9, there is this story where the Israelites have made some had some success in some battles, and the nations around them are a little bit afraid of them now. So one tribe that is quite close to the Israelites comes up to them, the Gibeonites. And they pretend to have come from a faraway country. They put on all these worn-out sacks, these dried wineskins, and they come up and say, we have come from such a faraway country. We've heard about you. Would you make peace with us? The Israelites do not inquire of the Lord. Joshua 9 verse 14, one of the very few times in the Old Testament where the writer of the book actually makes a kind of insider comment, and he says, the Israelites sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. And it all started to go downwards from that point. As soon as someone starts leaning on their own understanding, this seems right to me, and not going straight to the Lord, it does not go well. A lot of obstacles remained in the Israelites' path. The Lord did not clear away those obstacles. And that is the benefit of this wisdom, of trusting in God with all of our hearts. The benefit is this: He will make your paths straight. What that literally means in Hebrews is He will clear away. He will make a straight road for you in terrain that is difficult. The life obstacles, the dangers for you, He will clear off. I had this image, this picture of, imagine you're going through a dense tropical jungle, but there's a group of bodybuilders in front of you, armed with machetes, clearing away this bamboo so you can just calmly just walk through. I don't want to go through that jungle of life leaning on my own understanding, which is armed with a little wooden spoon, trying to cut down this jungle. You get lost. It is so easy to get lost. So I want us to take a moment, and I actually want us to pause for one second and think very practically and ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to think, because there may be a situation in your life right now that is terrifying you, that you are ashamed about, that you are desperately trying to hold on with all manner of control. What would it look like for you to step out and trust in the Lord like a child trusts that his father will catch him? What does it look like for you to take a risk on your own understanding to obey Christ instead? Think about it. Now let's continue as we do. The next benefit for us is fearing the Lord brings physical and spiritual health. So let's read verses 7 to 8 as well. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health, some translations say healing, to your body and nourishment to your bones. So in this next verse, we have then a further explanation of what it means not to lean on our own understanding. And it says, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. The people that we often admire in life, maybe us too, our society, and maybe us, the people we often admire and we look up to are the people who often have come from a humble, poor beginning, but they made it big. It's like rags to riches. They had like Oprah Winfrey is a big one. Arnold Schwarzenegger, all these guys, they come from a humble beginning, but they had a dream. And they followed that dream. And they were so determined, and then they became very successful. Do you know one of the most famous songs? No, don't, man, just before that thing. Okay, it's Frank Sinatra. Do you know one of the most famous songs that is to be played in funerals? I don't know if you ever thought about the song that will be played at your funeral. I actually have. I could tell you afterwards. It's not this one. But that is one of the most famous, popular songs in funerals, in karaoke bars. Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. We can go back and have a look at it. So Frank Sinatra, I mean, I actually, to be honest, I like some of Frank Sinatra's tunes. But every time I find myself singing this song, I did it, I feel a little bit guilty because the lyrics are so not Christian. And so if we go back and take a look at it, one slide back. Keep going back. Back. There you go. These are the lyrics for the song. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. To say the things he truly feels and not the words. Oh, he doesn't sing that. That's not actually how it goes. Please pick up child. Although it would be nice. Kind of, pick up your child. And not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. To those who are wise in their own eyes, to those who are determined to make a name for themselves, there is no wisdom in the cross. Peter rebukes Jesus when he says, I will be killed and rise again. The way of the cross is foolishness to those who are determined to do it their way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 tells us that, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus didn't do it his way. Jesus, pretty sure, didn't ever even heard of that and would never sing that song. He didn't do it his way. His whole life was spent submitting to his Father, even to death on a cross. His whole life was, I'm going about my Father's business. His last words were not only the words of one who kneels, they were the words of one who was being stripped, beaten, suffocating to death. Now, for us today, trusting in God and his way, and maybe you're in that situation, it may not look like much sense. You may be struggling with it as it doesn't look like sense in your eyes. If that is you, you are in good company. I am pretty certain it did not look very wise to Noah when he was told to build a massive boat hundreds of kilometers from the nearest sea. Mocked incessantly for years and years and years. How is this possibly human wisdom? But God knew what was coming. It didn't make sense to Hosea, no doubt, when he was told by God, marry a prostitute. It didn't make sense to Abraham when he was told, go up and sacrifice your one and only son. But those men of the Lord feared God, they trusted in him, and the benefit of that wisdom is this. Verse 8 tells us, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. We get physical and spiritual health. You see, our bodies feel the effects of trusting in our own career plans. If you're forever calculating to yourself, am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough? If you're forever anxiously leaning on your own understanding, all bodily systems, digestive, immune, cardiovascular, will feel it. It will feel like you can't breathe. That's what leaning on your own understanding feels like. But when you fear in the Lord, it's like oxygen to your body. It is marrow to your bones. It is strength and nourishment. We can be in the most intense, stressful situation, but feeling calm, breathing normally, because you've put all of your chips on God. None of them have been kept for yourself. So let's continue as we go through and look at the last verses 9 to 10, which tell us that God blesses us abundantly. So let's also read these verses. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So in this next verse, we have a challenging practical application of what it means, what it looks like to trust in God and not on our own understanding. Because the thing that we want most control over, that I want to guard so tightly, is my wallet. Right? There's a famous motto, guard your thoughts like you would guard your wallet. You can preach to me about love, you can preach to me about God, but my money is my concern. That belongs to me. And so this is one of the key areas where in all of our ways, we must submit to him. Verse 9 tells us this. We are to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So in biblical times, in an agricultural society, that meant the first agricultural produce that was produced. The wheat, the grapes, the olives, that was to be given to the temple priests. You were not able to harvest any of the other crops until you had given that. Now, I may be mistaken, but I don't think many of us are farmers. So what does that look like for us today, 2024? What does it look like for you and me to give the first fruits, the produce to God? This is what it means. It means give to him the best that you have. Where does the first part of your paycheck go? Does God get the very best of your time? Where do you invest your gifts first? If it's to the Lord, it may come as a sacrifice and will be a squeal to your flesh, because there is no earthly insurance. You only have the heavenly insurance, the promise of Luke 6, which promises us this: give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, you might look at your own situation, your own practical, real-life situation, and think, how do I give the best to God when I'm struggling? When every month, James, I'm looking at my accounts and it's the minus. When I'm struggling to think, how can I afford my kids' latest class trip? Here's the Bible telling us about first fruits. You barely have actual fruit. What does it actually mean then? Well, this is what it means not to lean on your own understanding. If you remember when Jesus gathered his disciples to him, he did not commend the rich people who were putting into the offering basket all of that money. He commended that poor widow who gave in a few copper coins because that was all she had. She was trusting in the Lord with everything. So let's take a second and again think. In your unique situation, with the responsibilities that you have, what would it look like for you to step out into the unknown? To step out onto that invisible bridge and give to the Lord the best of your money, talents, and time, whatever you have, not knowing exactly how you're going to get it back. If we look at the lives of some of the Christian saints, some of the courageous men and women throughout church history, people like George Muller, people like Hudson Taylor, Gladys Aylward, when I look at their lives, there are a few things that I always see in common. These men and women of the faith, heroes of the faith, always had a prayer life that was so vibrant. And they lived lives that were disciplined lives. And they trusted in the Lord with all of their possessions. Well, a man that I greatly admire, and I think I've mentioned him before, is a man called Rhys Howells. He was a Welshman, and he was a Welsh intercessor, such a godly man. And one of the memorable stories about him that I'll share with you now is how he managed to go on a missions trip. So he did not have the money to go on a missions trip. Like everything, it was provided to him, and he received the money he had to go on this trip. But a need came up. And so he gave the first fruits. He gave the money he had just received to somebody in need. This meant he only had enough money to go on half the trip. So halfway through the trip, he has to get off the train. He gets off the train wondering how on earth he is going to continue the trip. He feels in his spirit that he should go and stand in line in the ticket line for the ticket office. So he dutifully goes and stands in the ticket line, and the ticket desk is getting closer and closer. He does not have the money. He has no idea how he's going to get that money, but he's trusting in the Lord. He's not leaning on his own understanding. He knows God comes through. And just before he gets to the ticket desk, somebody steps out of the crowd and gives him the exact amount of money that he needs to go on the rest of the trip. He trusted in the Lord. The Lord provided. When we honor God with the best that we have, what is the benefit? What is the promise, the reward? It is this in verse 10. Your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. Now that is not a formulaic health and wealth gospel. Well, I gave some money to you, God. I would like my barn to be a big house, please, filled with shiny goodies. That's not exactly what it means. It may mean material blessing. It may mean physical blessing. It may mean spiritual blessing. It may mean that God blesses you in heaven. God loves to bless his people. But time and time again, he blesses you and I with knowledge of who he is. One of my favorite verses is James 4, verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord. What will he do? He will lift you up. What does that mean? Does it mean I'm kind of being lifted up? It means I get to be used by him. There is no greater privilege for you and I to be used by our Savior. No greater blessing. So let us begin to end with this thought. When Jesus leaned not on his understanding, when he feared and trusted in the Lord, his Father, even to death on the cross, what benefits did he receive? What benefits did he get? Well, we know from Scripture that he has been exalted to the highest place. He is seated at the right hand of God and has been given the name above every other name. But I also want us to consider this other benefit as we seek to obey these verses today. The other benefit that Jesus received is this: you and I would be eternally his. Jesus is the ultimate first fruit. He gave the first and the last of everything he had so that he would be holding you in his arms. So when we place our trust in him, it is like trusting that he will hold you. And that is a savior that you can lean on. That is a savior who promises you will see him face to face. He will be holding you in his arms. So brothers and sisters, let us lean not on our own understanding, but on that Savior, Jesus, because he is worth it. Let me close our eyes. Let me ask us to close our eyes and just come before this Savior. And come before him and ask him where we may be leaning on our own understanding, where we may be trusting in the Lord with one eye on something else, a few chips kept for ourselves. I just pray in a moment of silence that the Lord would place that on our heart. Father, would you please be merciful and do that work, that pruning, refining work of your Holy Spirit, where we are not fearing you, where we are not leaning on you entirely. Would you please place your divine finger, Lord, on that in our lives? Heavenly Father, I just pray, as your Holy Spirit does this work, would you please teach us and show us how good it is, how sweet it is to trust in you, that we really can trust in you, that everything that terrifies us, everything that shames us, everything that we are desperate to remain in control of, we don't have to. We can let it go. How good it is to breathe. The physical, spiritual blessings that are there when we say, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to place all of my chips on you, God. Lord, it may feel like for some of us it's going into the unknown. So be it. It is good to trust in you, and you always come through for us every single time. Help us, Lord, as we reflect and think about these verses. Help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.